We've got Will Durst coming out. He's the funniest man in political comedy and maybe in comedy period right now in America. So you're in for a real treat.
Okay, I am so proud to brag to you that I brought Will Durst to the Progressive Magazine. I got him to start writing his column for us after I saw him perform at the ACLU dinner in Milwaukee, where he knocked everyone on their rear end because he is a fantastic comic. He is an award-winning, nationally acclaimed comic originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He writes a regular column for the Progressive Magazine. His latest one-man show is Boomeraging from LSD to OMG. And besides reading him at The Progressive, you can find more out about him at willdurst.com. Please welcome the inimitable Will Durst.
I'm inimitable. She's indefatigable. That's Ruth Conniff, for everybody. How about a hand for Ruth and Matthew? And Sean Michael Dargan, who gave up his time for me because the Solidarity Singers were wonderful, weren't they? Unfortunately, they all had to leave and go home because it was past their bedtime, but the good news is they took their vuvuzelas with them. Thank you, Madison, for letting me be part of the Fighting Bob Festival, and I'm ready to fight Bob whenever you want. My name is Will Durst. I'm a political comedian, which of course means that sometimes there's nothing going on and I'm screwed. But not now. I gotta tell you though, the hardest part of being a political comic is not coming up with the new stuff, because there's always some. The hard part is getting rid of the old material. Seriously, because I'm not like Jon Stewart. I mean, yeah, he's great at what he does, but you look at that end crawl of credits, and he's got 15 writers working 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. He's like the Walmart of political comedy. I'm a small boutique in Soho, hand-stitching every joke. So it takes me a while, and I finally get halfway decent at a routine or a bit, and it gets old, man. I got to kick it out of the nest. For instance, my William Howard Taft material just doesn't have the same bite. Reagan was great for stand-up. Remember he was shot, and he didn't know he was shot? I don't know about you. I'd like a president with a central nervous system. Come on, man. A single-cell animal knows he's been injured. Paramecium go, because they don't have vocal cords. Thank you. J. Danforth Quayle, an embarrassment of riches. His biggest fear was that George Herbert Walker Bush would die in office and the next guy wouldn't keep him on as VP. See, and that's why I need you guys. I need adults in the audience. I do that joke at a comedy club and they stare at me. Bill Clinton, lush like a tropical rainforest. I never had sexual relations with that woman. He was pointing at Helen Thomas. He meant that woman. That. Or Hillary Clinton. But he meant that. Ooh. Wrong crowd. And then there was something that we in the industry refer to as the golden age of political comedy. George W. Bush. For 8 wonderful years, that man was like a father to me. I was but a single cog in his No Comic Left Behind program. I didn't even have to write material. I swear to God, I always carry these 3x5 cards with me, and at the end of the second Bush administration, I had both sides of a card full of verbatim quotes from George. I didn't alter a syllable, man. One was, I think we could all agree the past is over. When in Rome, do as the Romanians do. But my favorite was, the problem with the French is they don't have a word for entrepreneur. You can't make stuff up like this. Sarah Palin. Oh, Sarah Palin. Oh, I know she didn't run in 2012, and yet she couldn't help herself. Every 2 weeks, there was something. She couldn't help it. She would erupt every 2 weeks. She was like Republican herpes. But I mean that in a good way. She went to Jerusalem and visited the Wailing Wall, and she was so golly gosh excited because whaling used to be a huge industry in Alaska, don't you know? No, you're right. She didn't say that. But for a second there, you weren't sure. That's my point. Yeah. And now my new favorite politician has to be Rob Ford, the Toronto mayor. The guy who admitted smoking crack during, and I quote, one of my drunken stupors. Stupors! Plural! And after he admitted it, his approval rating went up. Canada, my man! Same thing with French President Francois Hollande. He admitted having an affair with a French movie star, and his approval rating shot up 5 points. So, I hope Obama's paying attention. Because right now, his approval rating is lower than scorpion-infested throw pillows filled with Ebola mold spores. What he needs is a video of him naked smoking crack with Lindsay Lohan to go viral. I'd watch that. Hell, Barack's got game. Just me. I think it's amazing that they hate him so much. They tried to repeal Obamacare 51 times. They blame him for everything. They couldn't even let him pass, close a loophole in the gun show because the NRA, assault weapons can be used as legitimate hunting rifles. Really? Is that your, because I can follow your line of reasoning. You can also use a chainsaw to cut butter. If you think about it, a hand grenade will signal the end of recess. And I got to be careful with that joke in Madison because this is the only town in the world where Priuses have gun racks. You know. So. But they can't let him win anything. And the problem is they hate him so much because he's so smooth, man. There's no scandal with Obama. You know, Clinton was a corpulent womanizer, and Bush had the DUIs and the DTs and the STDs and the ADHD. And Obama is like chamois on chrome. He's got less friction than rayon pajamas on silk sheets in zero gravity. Makes Clinton look like a chunk of concrete wrapped in Velcro, dipped in wallpaper paste. No matter what you think of Obama's policies, you got to admire his ability not to get involved in them. Wrong crowd. And they blame him for everything. You get the feeling Obama could discover a cure for cancer, and Republicans would complain he's anti-big pharmaceutical. They criticize Michelle's anti-obesity program. For Christ's sake, who's pro-obesity? The Husky Casket Corporation? Angioplasty Balloons R Us? The Wisconsin Tourism Board? Oh, yeah, because we got the beer, the cheese, and the sausage. Hey, yeah, we got the cheese beer, and the only thing we don't got yet is a sausage beer because it's too chunky for the taps, but we're working on it. They blamed Obama for the Secret Service hooker scandal in Colombia. For crumb's sake, he doesn't party with them after hours. If John Edwards had been president, well, maybe. Clinton, that's a dead solid lock. My favorite part of that was the hooker wanted $800 and the Secret Service agent gave her $30. And we fired him. The man has skills. Put him in charge of Pentagon procurement. Well, it happened on Obama's watch. Well, what kind of logic is that? Well, Bush was president. Pluto was downgraded to a planetoid. So not only did we invade the wrong country, we lost a planet. Now, I don't know nothing, but we can't afford to lose 11% of the solar system too many more times. And then the birther nonsense. He was born in Kenya. No, he wasn't. He was born in Honolulu in a manger. We all know that. And then he was visited by the three howlers. The teabaggers. And I know we're not supposed to call them teabaggers, but they did for the first 4 months because they had no idea that their name was a euphemism for gargling testicles. We're the proud teabaggers of the tea. What? What? Huh? Oh, you can't call us that anymore. That's what happens when your movement's made up of angry old white guys, none of whom know how to get on the interweb to vet their own name. Teabagger, what came in second? Cornholers for Democracy? Did Freedom's Felchers make the short list? The One-Eyed Snakes of Liberty. And you can't tell me that this stuff isn't racial, if not racist. I mean, face it. There are some people, not here, not far away, Waukesha. You know, there are some people, Beloit, there are some people who are never going to get used to the fact we're being governed by a black guy living in public housing. A half black guy. And isn't that just like America? Yes, yes, we're an adult, mature, grown-up nation. Of course we can elect an African-American president of the United States. But first, why don't we try out a half black guy? You know, like a starter Negro. Baby steps, a hybrid. And then we work our way up to Samuel L. Jackson. We're just Afro-curious. And I feel bad for Obama because he's a facilitator. He always brought people together, and there's no one to bring together anymore. The only way to bring Washington together is with a fire hose spewing crazy glue at this point. But I love him that he can talk. You know, it's so refreshing to have a president when he speaks with a foreign leader. The other guy isn't more eloquent than English as a second language. But you always have to have the president, because Obama is so measured. He was all pissed off there. We had no idea. I think it's become increasingly apparent that our allies are in a quandary is how to respond to this particularly polarizing incident. And Bush was, either you're with us or you're against us. Ha ha, poo-poo. And Obama doesn't have a party behind him. Bush had Republicans, and they were with him every step of the way, you know? Obama's got Democrats. For Christ's sake, I'd rather have terracotta warriors on my side. At least they're all facing the same direction. Democrats aren't even aware they're in the middle of a war. Republicans are attacking with torches and pitchforks, and the Democratic response is to introduce legislation to reform pitchfork safety standards. You should put corks on those. Phosphorescent for nighttime visibility. Meanwhile, the Republicans have morphed into a single-cell amoeba. They become the tax-cut zombies from the planet No. Their entire negotiation with Obama for 6 years. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. No, sir. No way. Not in a million years. Let me think. No. I'll sleep on it. No. What are you, four? They turned into the Rain Man party. You know, tax cuts. Yeah, definitely tax cuts. Yeah, tax cuts. Yeah, yeah, I'm an excellent driver. And all the tax cuts go to the wealthy. Does that make any sense at all? You give money to rich people. Rich people have money. That's why they're rich people. Give some money to the poor people. Give the rich people a hug. Who wants a government hug? Then they always trot out the pointy-headed economist from, you know, the Heritage Foundation.
Well, obviously, you're an ignorant individual, unable to comprehend the complexities of supply-side economics. The deal is we give the money to the rich people, and then they spend it, and it trickles down to the poor people.
No, they're not going to spend it. They're going to hang on to it. That's how they got to be rich people. You give us poor people money, I guarantee we will blow every damn penny we get our grubby little hands on. Why do you think we're poor people? Because we spent all our money. The Walton family has six people in the top 15 richest Americans. Six. Really, dude? Couldn't it be six of the top 30 richest Americans and still give people money, you know, to live on? So the rest of us didn't have to pay for their food stamps, for Christ's sake? That's why I'm glad healthcare passed. I mean, look at me, man. I'm a schmuck comic. It's not like the progressive hires me. I mean, they pay me, but I don't get benefits or, you know, the Barrymore. This is my gig. I wander the country dropping my little chuckle pellets in hamlets all over this grand land. So I'm glad healthcare passed. I understand people's anxiety. I mean, the bill is 2,400 pages long, or 2,700. They're still not sure. Shouldn't you be sure? A lot of stuff could happen in 300 pages. I've read Harry Potter. But now you're required to buy health care. If you don't, you'll be fine. You don't pay the fine, you go to prison, where you get free health care. So that's my backup plan. And the Koch brothers, and I know everybody calls them the Koch brothers, but that's not how they pronounce it. It rhymes with sock. It's the Koch brothers. So every time you say it from now on, just remember the Koch brothers, and make sure you hit that second K, Koch brothers. No, that's how they want it pronounced, yeah. So I think you get to choose how, you know, it's like Anthony Weiner, you know? I mean, dude, your name is Weiner. You're into politics. You could have done the Boner Boehner thing. Speaking of the house, John Boehner has 11 brothers and sisters. They're all boners. This is true. He's the only Boehner in the family. His mother's a boner. His father, well, 12 kids, you do the math. And Weiner could have gone with Weiner, which is still a lousy name for a politician. Or he could have gone whole hog. I've seen it done in Wisconsin. Yes, we spell it W-E-I-N-E-R, but it's pronounced Schultz. I'm doing this show about being a baby boomer. And the reason is because I wrote this great show in 2012 about the election. And then on November 7th, it evaporated. Nobody gave a rat's ass about Rick Perry or Rick Santorum or Rick Gingrich or any of the other Ricks or Dicks that were running. And I'm getting old, man. It's not that I feel old. It's just that this is the oldest I've ever been. And I'm beginning to detect a pattern. This is how old I am. When shopping at Costco, before committing to a purchase, I'm forced to factor in life expectancy. Honey, you really think we're going to finish this 55-gallon drum of tuna fish? This is how old I am. I've had an AARP card for 12 years. They find you day one of your 50th birthday, no matter where you are. I'm convinced that's how we track down Bin Laden. Because he turned 50 when he was in Abbottabad, and I'm pretty sure the AARP found him. And we boomers, they lied to us, man. Where's my jetpack? Walt Disney promised me a jetpack. And I know, there's more computing power in our cell phones than took Apollo 11 to the moon. But labor-saving devices? We pump our own gas, we print our own movie tickets, you get a paw through your garbage, separating it under penalty of law. You get a strip half naked when you fly, walk a block to and from the parking meter pay stations. That's why I drive, for Christ's sake. get a bag your own groceries, and God forbid you don't bring your own bag. You end up scurrying back to the car, clutching your food to your chest like a crazed looter. I ain't paying no goddamn dime. And now they want us to check ourselves out. Well, screw you. No wonder I'm so tired. Look at all the part-time jobs I have. And you take your life in your own hands, man. The future is dangerous. Every time you enter a public restroom, who here hasn't been startled by a presumptuous automatic flush? Exactly. What was wrong with the big chrome toggle on the side? You could use your foot. Seems a lot more sanitary than a series of unrequested butt douches. I'm not anti-European. I don't mind sitting on a bidet when I know I'm sitting on a bidet. I don't want surprise bidet. And it hardly seems earth-friendly. It flushes when you enter. It flushes when you twitch a cheek. It flushes when you get up before you can turn around and identify the fruits of your own labor. I just want to know what color it is. Still holding the paper in my hand, for Christ's sake. And then you stumble over to the sink and you need an engineering degree from UW in order to operate the faucets. Where'd they hide the electric eye on this one? Shuffling from sink to sink like some crazed psycho, swatting away swarms of invisible gnats. Anyhow, you guys, you know, I feel like following these guys. Jesus, man, I'm like Don Knotts after Eugene Debs, you know. So, I want to thank you. I want to thank Matthew and Ruth, and I know that come November that you guys are gonna get rid of that stealth hand puppet of the Koch brothers. Because you're going to do the right thing. And this is not political either, but it's just a couple of jokes to leave the show with, because I need a beer right now. You got one? Yeah. First joke no one likes. Chicken and an egg are having sex. Finally they finish. The egg rolls over, lights up a cigarette, turns to the chicken and says, "Well, that answers that." No, you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't. It's a rhetorical joke. And this is my favorite joke this year. If a husband in the woods offers up an opinion and his wife is not there to hear it, is he still wrong? I think we all know the answer in the count of three. One, two, three. I love it when you say yes. Thank you, Madison.